This is a May Luna Media production.
You're listening to Love, Light, and Black Holes. I'm your host, Morgan Garza, here to remind you of your disco ball soul so you can dance with your darkness. If you're sick of love and light spirituality like I was, you're in the right place. We keep it real. Go deep and give voice to your shadow so your light shines even brighter. Enter the void. Welcome back, Shame Slayers and Shadow Sparklers. First, I want to say how delighted I am that you all are finding the Chiron Shadow Astro Report so incredibly on point. The messages I've gotten, the emails, the holy shit about how relevant it is, how on point it is, how relatable it is, and how just straight to the soul it is for you all. So keep those messages coming. I love them. I live off of them. And if you haven't done your Chiron Astro Shadow Report, there's a link down below. You can grab it. It will tell you exactly your Chiron placement, house, and sign. And then you can learn what your deepest shadow is, because what I hear the most for people doing shadow work outside of I'm afraid of what I'll find is I don't know where to start. So this takes that guesswork out for you, tells you what your deepest shadow is that you were born with, that framed and shaped your childhood. And then you get into this place where you can understand how it shaped, why it did, and what validating experiences you created for the rest of your life to support what happened in your childhood. This shit is real. It is the best. I knew I had to create this for you when I discovered mine years ago, and it's time. It's time for you to see yourself fully, your full disco ball soul, and get something that is just for you. And of course, I'm not going to leave you hanging. You get this report, and then I tell you exactly how to work with it, how this Chiron, the wounded healer, is your medicine. It is your power, and your darkness is your deepest power source. This is where you learn the best lessons that keep you moving through life. So grab your report. It's absolutely free. It's down below. You can also pop back an episode if you want to hear about how this works and what Chiron's relationship, I guess, is to your astrology, to your natal chart, and to your life. It is so incredibly powerful, and this report is beyond on point. Like, the emails that I'm getting from y'all, the messages, the holy shit, the wow, this just really hit home. I feel like I'm finally knowing myself is the best. Like, this is the best kind of feedback that I could ever get. So keep it coming, grab your free report, and let's get into today's episode. So as you may have noticed, the world feels like it's a little bit on fire, and I apologize in advance. I am just on the tail end of a cold, so if I'm a little scruffy, a little sniffly, that's why. But I know you've probably been doom scrolling. I know you've been sitting there going, what is happening? And I'm here to tell you that everything coming to light right now is actually the good news. And stick with me. I know it can feel exhausting and overwhelming and deeply, deeply troubling looking at things like the Epstein files and what's going on around the world. And we're seeing that people in power have been doing terrible things in the dark for decades, if not longer. And we have been living with the wool over our eyes, but the astrology backs it up, and we'll get into that in a minute. But all of this coming to light does not mean that the dark is winning. Darkness revealed is darkness defeated. It doesn't work once you can see it. And this is exactly what I say about shadow work. And you have heard this on this podcast if you've been listening, and if this is your first best episode, hi. Your darkness holds a lot of power. It holds power over you, and it holds power that you can use. When it holds power over you, that is when it is living in the darkness, when you can't see it, when you know that there's something there and it is running your life. And this is why we do shadow work, so that we don't allow the darkness to run our lives. But once you look at your darkness, once you go in there and see it for what it actually is, its power dissipates immensely. It no longer has that hold over you. So this is exactly what we're seeing in our culture, in our society, globally right now, that all of this darkness coming to light, its power is dissipating so much, and we are seeing things for what they actually are, and the illusion has been totally obliterated, annihilated, shattered, and now we can't unsee it. We can't unknow it. And I know there's a lot of things going on right now that we probably don't want to know, specifically around the Epstein vials and how abhorrent and horrific they are. Crimes against humanity, not just women. And this can make you feel terrified. Like, this is what's been going on, and the internal shaking and the fury and the rage and the anger and the betrayal and on and on and on of these people in power who we've been told to trust and have clearly been taking advantage of women, of children, of our trust, of our ignorance, and have been distracting us with all of the things to keep us busy so that we don't look, so that we don't know, so that we don't see for what it really is. But the nature of darkness is that it only has power when it is hidden. Think about cockroaches. If there is cockroaches in a room or somewhere and you flick on the lights, they scatter. Light is literally their threat. And this is the same principle. And I know that right now it can feel in a sense that like the darkness is taking over, the darkness is winning because it's everywhere right now. And it was winning when it was shrouded, when we didn't know about it, when it wasn't making headline news. And now that it is, we can start taking our power back because darkness isn't some all-powerful force. It's actually pretty fragile. And as you can see, so are the people in power who are maintaining and protecting that darkness. It requires profound secrecy, silence, and shame to survive. Think about everything that has shifted culturally in the last decade. Me Too, the Catholic Church abuse reckoning, corporate cover-ups and government overreach exposed. None of it could be fixed until it was named out loud. And now that we have named this, and now that we are seeing that what we once thought were these wild, outlandish conspiracy theories, they are coming to light. This moment feels heavy because what we're seeing is a lot at once. It's like we're being dumped into this cesspool of disgusting, horrific, awful shit. But that's not darkness winning. This is an audit. Things are coming out. You haven't gotten sicker. The doctor is just finally running blood work and you're seeing things exactly for what they are. So now you can do something about them. The systems that hide this stuff are old and creaky and increasingly unable to keep secrets in an information age. That's structural. This is becoming worldwide because we have social media. There's a lot of problems with social media, sure, but the spreading of information like this and the way that it can mobilize people in the age of Aquarius especially is unique to social media, and I love it for that. So let's get into the astrology around this because it absolutely backs up. This is scheduled by the cosmos. It is insane. Once you really start getting into astrology and you see that it has predicted all of the most major world global events of all time, it's pretty mind-blowing. So we're in the age of Aquarius, which means that Pluto moved into Aquarius in 2023, and it will be there until 2044. This is the time of the feminine rising, and not female, just the feminine energy, because Pluto is death, rebirth, what's hidden, power, corruption, transformation. It goes into a sign and excavates it. It is coming out of Capricorn, which was systems and structure and empire and the masculine and patriarchy. And now we're moving into Aquarius, which is systems, collectives, technology, the public, information, revolution, humanitarianism. And at the end of all of that is love, is the feminine. The last time that Pluto was in Aquarius was 1778 to 1798. And what happened during this time was the American Revolution, the French Revolution, the dismantling of monarchies, the Enlightenment hitting its peak. People literally guillotined their overlords. Off with their fucking heads. So Pluto in Aquarius is going to keep doing this for 20 years. What does that mean? This is information leaks. It's flight logs. It's documents that were supposed to stay sealed. It is the Epstein files. The public is this revolutionary force this time around. And we have technology to help us spread what we're finding, connect to each other, and mobilize. And this is exactly what we're seeing in Minnesota Against ICE. Communities are mobilizing. They're helping each other. They're saying, hey, over there, over here. There is now a network of people coming together against a bigger force. Aquarius rules the internet, social media, and crowdsourced truth, y'all. The very tools that make it impossible to keep secrets anymore are Aquarian tools being activated by Pluto. Like this, you cannot write this shit. It is so on point. It is so on point. And I think it's also hilarious because when Pluto got demoted to a dwarf planet, it was like, all right, fine. Watch what I can do from this status, y'all. You don't think I'm a planet? I'm about to fuck your world up. And so this also plays into the divine feminine rising. I mean, you can't keep suppressing half the planet's energy forever. And the dominant system for centuries, millennia, has been hierarchical, secretive, domination-based. That's not masculine energy inherently. That's distorted shadow masculine energy. The divine masculine is the supporter, the provider, the hunter, the one who wants to keep the village safe. This is harming the village, poisoning our food so that we stay sick, creating systems and structures around making us dependent upon the masculine and the structures. The divine feminine is cyclical, relational, truth-telling, embodied, community-oriented, nurturing, loving. And it's been systematically suppressed because it doesn't do well with lies. And what does feminine energy do? It tends, it nurtures, it also calls out BS at the dinner table. It is not soft, it's fierce, and it's awake. And she is raging and roaring to come back into power right now, to be acknowledged. Just the same way that when you suppress the shadow is going to create tidal waves and tsunamis and ripple effects in every single area of your life until you look and see and acknowledge it. This is exactly what the feminine is doing right now. Women-led movements are driving a lot of the accountability culture. The return of interest in cyclical living, intuition, somatic healing, being natural, working with the earth, having more of a connection to ourselves and our surroundings. People are coming back to their bodies after decades of dissociation. And younger generations, especially women, are rejecting the old systems entirely. They're not reforming them. They're leaving them. We are literally burning shit down because we have gotten to a point where we're like, why are we doing this? And no one has a good answer. It just is. It just has been the way. And that is no longer the way because the suppression of the feminine is directly connected to the ability of darkness to hide. Because feminine energy asks, but how does this affect people? And what the fuck is going on? And that is dangerous to power. The rise of the feminine doesn't mean women take over. This doesn't mean we have a matriarchy. We could. That would be great. It means those values, care, truth, connection, nurturing, just being a good fucking person, start running the show. This is where we come back into balance. The pendulum swung way too far, and we don't want it to swing absolutely the other way. That is not good either. We want homeostasis. We want balance. We want that cozy middle ground where everybody is doing their part, and no one, not one single person, has vastly more power than the other. And this is also backed up by Neptune in Aries, which is the spiritual warrior. Neptune moved into Aries in 2025. Neptune previously was in Pisces, where Neptune is a water planet and Pisces is a water sign. And so this was just getting really lost in illusion, in the depths, in Pisces doesn't want to be an earthling, really. They're this star seed. They're an alien. They live in this other world. And Neptune backs that up, the planet of dreams and depth and power within. And so when these two were hanging out for a long time, there wasn't a lot going on. An illusion just took over. And we were told, we believed that this was the way. But now, with Neptune moving into Aries, we have so much power coming back. Neptune is spirituality, illusion, distortion, dreams, and what we can't see clearly. It's also very much mysticism. But Aries, the warrior, the pioneer, the initiator, the I'm going first, the courage, the action, the fire energy is coming in to bring all of that sleepy, dreamy, psychic, totally ungrounded and not on earth energy from Pisces right the fuck out. And the last time Neptune was in Aries was in 1861 to 1875. And what happened then was the Civil War, the abolition of slavery, a whole moral reckoning about human dignity that people fought and died for. We want to be acknowledged for our humanity. And this is happening again. What this combo produces, Neptune and Aries, is a spiritual warrior. People who are not just meditating on justice and eating green smoothies and doing yoga and saying love and light, but actually getting up and doing something about it. Faith that moves into action. They are using their spirituality for activism, because to not be active in your spirituality is to miss the entire point. Meditating on a mountaintop and calling it enlightenment. You can't be enlightened if you're not immersed in the world. Anybody can sit on a mountaintop and meditate all day. It's, can you meditate in the middle of traffic? Can you stop and meditate in the middle of a busy, hectic, stressful, overwhelming day and still tap into your magic and power? This is Neptune in Aries. This is why you're seeing people who used to be spiritually bypassing all over the place. Everything happens for a reason. Just raise your vibration, love and light, good vibes only. Now we're getting pissed off and politically engaged. And hello, this podcast exists at exactly the right time. Love, Light, and Black Holes has been around for a lot longer, since 2015. But I mean, in my head and in my work. But now that it's public, I think it's really interesting timing. Neptune in Aries says your spirituality has to have spine. It has to have grit. Has to have something to bite into. I don't want to hear about your crystal healing and your meditations and your love and light. Fuck your love and light. If you are not honoring your black holes and the black holes of the world, I don't want anything to do with you. This energy also dissolves from Neptune false heroism from Aries. So expect fake saviors and performative activism to get exposed too. You can't hide behind the warrior archetype if you're actually a coward. And this you see so much in the spiritual industry. Deepak Chopra, for example, has been in the Epstein files and has been exposed. And he isn't the only one. This is the death of guru culture, of influencer culture, of celebrity culture. This is not going to stand anymore. And this energy is dead. It's done. Goodbye. Because this cannot survive. This energy of being a spiritual person with nefarious morals and values and actions is not going to last. And this is not the only person that we are going to see come out. And brace yourselves, because I'm sure it's going to be people that you actually really do love and have built your practice around. So, what does this look like on the ground in the real world with real people and real fucking receipts? Because we have receipts right now, right? Citizens in multiple countries are organizing against governments in ways that are unprecedented and leaderless, because Aquarian Revolution doesn't need a king. It needs a network. It is the collective. It is the definition of the collective. We are mobilizing together because the leader of our global movements is that we don't want bullshit anymore. That is what is driving us. The light is driving us to expose the dark. Independent journalists and citizen investigators are doing more accountability journalism than mainstream outlets. They are also being threatened and killed and arrested, and it is very dangerous out there. Whistleblowers becoming cultural figures, the act of truth-telling being framed as heroic rather than traitorous, is something that we have seen for a long time. I mean, this has been going on for decades. Edward Snowden, all of the whistleblowers back then. This is going to continue to happen and actually really ramp up because of the times that we're in. And the general vibe of we're not going back to pretending. We've seen too much. You cannot unsee, you cannot unknow what is going on right now. And Gen Z has a complete allergy to this bullshit PR speak, which is also really good for this movement because they're the youngest ones, which I think the people in power, think that they're probably the most easy to manipulate, the easiest to be impressionable, but they're not. They grew up in the digital age. They were born with phones in their hands. They know how this works. They are not going to just take the bait. They smell a lie from a mile away, whether it's in branding, whether it's in your product, whether it's in your company, or whether it's in the government. So they publicly say loudly with memes and with movements that they are not standing for this, and this is the future. This generation and everyone below them are the future. They are what we are moving towards. So think about that too, because that really brings me a lot of comfort knowing that Gen Z is just like questioning everything, especially things that the rest of us are just doing, like alcohol, for example. Gen Z supposedly doesn't really drink. And while I don't drink anymore either, I really, really, really did for a really, really, really long time. And I thought it was the greatest thing. And it's clearly not, but they're coming around like, what the fuck are you guys doing? Why are you doing this? It gets so bad for you and you're acting a fool. And we're like, what do you mean? We have so much fun. Like, no, ask questions. So you can be horrified by what's coming out and understand that it is coming out because it is ready. It's coming out because this is the time. The astrology agrees. The people are fed up. This is the mechanism of healing. And the light is drawing the dark out. The dark is coming into the light. It might feel like the darkness is taking over, but it was really in power when we didn't know about it. Now that we know about it, we can do something about it. And always protect your energy. Always guard yourself first. Don't spend too much time going through news articles or social media or getting into rabbit holes on YouTube about all of the crazy shit that's going on. Protect your energy. You are not meant to consume this much. Back in the day, people only knew about what was going on in their village and maybe surrounding villages. They didn't have in the palm of their hand what was going on the other side of the world. And while I agree that it is important to be informed and it is important to know what the fuck is going on the other side of the world, your nervous system is still living in a cave. It is still running from saber-toothed tigers. It is still operating in that same capacity. We do not have the capacity to absorb and to consume all that we are consuming, whether it's good or bad. In general, the consumption right now, it's too much. It's way too much. It's taking us out of our power. It's taking us out of our connection. It's making us disassociate. It's creating these false perceptions of what people are actually like because we're looking at everyone's highlight reel. And that's a fucking bullshit. People don't actually live the way that we see on social media. It's curated. But we take that for what it is because we're humans. Because we see something and we're like, okay, well, that's what it is. The brain catalogs it. It categorizes it. You are not meant to consume this much, especially this much negative, terrifying, and just horrendous information. Stay informed to the point that you need to know the facts, but don't allow yourself to be sucked into these rabbit holes. And I'm saying this to myself as much as I am to you, because this week has been really difficult going through specifically the Epstein files. And I am not going through all of them, but I'm seeing a lot of them. Well, probably not a lot of them. I mean, there's 3 million pages released, but I'm seeing a small fraction of the horrendous things that went on. And it's awful. I mean, my entire body is going into panic sometimes when I'm reading about this shit, and it makes me cry and it makes me sick to my stomach and it makes my stomach turn. And I just cannot even imagine humans doing this to other humans. And then I have to take a break, because if I keep in that energy, it is going to ruin me. So be informed to the level that you think that you need to know the facts, but don't let it go any further because this is not good for you and it's not going to do anything. Be fucking angry. You need to be angry. Yes, of course. This is what we need to do. Anger mobilizes. Anger makes change. Anger gets the people in power to listen to us. But that doesn't mean that you need to spend hours scrolling or listening or consuming to be angry. Just know that it's fucked up and get angry about that. Protect yourself. Take deep breaths. Take a deep breath right now. I was sick last week, so I couldn't get a full breath in because I was just full of snot and mucus and all the good stuff. And this week, the past couple days, really this morning, I took my dog Cooper on a walk and I took the biggest breath that I've taken in probably 5 days. And I was like, wow, I really needed that. Your breath is your life. The ancient Egyptians knew this. Everyone in ancient times knew that breath is life. All around the world, across continents and cultures and religious beliefs, your breath is going to carry you through your life, through the good, the bad, the low, the heavy, the exciting, the exhilarating. Come back to yourself, so that you are not continuing to give your power away to those who are just going to consume it and to annihilate you. Grief is appropriate. Rage is appropriate. Neither means the darkness is winning. It means that you are finally not numb. You are finally not looking away. You are finally realizing that the illusion has been shattered. The lights have flicked on. And you're in a Vegas nightclub, and it is not a pretty sight. No lights should ever be on in Vegas. I believe that Vegas should live under a bubble, always in dark, because in daytime in Vegas is fucking whack. And this feels like that. Like, we were all having a good time. We're having so much fun. Oh my God, this is the best night ever. And the light comes on, and you're like, what the fuck? There's shit all over the floor. Who are you? What is going on here? I've got to go. That is exactly what this feels like to me. And I know that that is probably too much of a simplicity, but it's the same. This is shocking. And it is okay to feel all of the things, the discomfort of this moment and this comfort of a wound being cleaned. It hurts. It hurts so much right before it gets better. And honestly, Pluto doesn't do gentle. Aquarius doesn't do quiet. Neptune in Aries doesn't do patience. We choose to be here at this time. We have chosen this. So here we are. So the next time you're doom scrolling at midnight and you feel like this world is ending, remember that what you're watching is an exorcism. And exorcisms are loud and ugly and messy, but they work. And it is necessary because this shit cannot continue and it won't. And with your help, it really will be brought to justice. So take a deep breath. And in this age of Aquarius, ask yourself how you can be involved. What feels good for you? Is it supporting people who are affected by ICE, all of the immigration that is going on, all of the deportation, all of the cities that are being terrorized? Is it donating? Is it making meals? Is it adopting a dog or a cat or some furry lover that you can take out of the system and bring into your home? What does getting involved look like to you? And how can you turn your rage and anger and this blasphemy into something that is going to be powerful? That is going to make waves of positive change, because that is what you will remember this time for, how you acted, what you did to get involved, and the ways that you channeled and alchemized what was going on in your body, in your heart, in your soul, into something that contributed to the direction of what you want to see the world go in. I know it's heavy. I know it's a lot. I know it's shitty. But this actually is really fucking good. And I'm here with you. And I've got you. and I'm honoring your love. I'm dancing in your light, and I'm walking through the black holes with you. I'll see you next week. Thanks for diving into the void with me. If today lit something up in you or cracked something open, follow the show and leave a review so we can magnetize more shame slayers and shadow sparklers into this world. Want more? Step through the portal at lovelightandblackholes.com. That's where the wild magic lives. Until next time, dance with your darkness like it's your favorite song, and watch the whole universe light up.